All right, here we are. Episode number five, Shooter's Gallery Podcast.
It's a hell of a name.
It is. It is. An old friend of mine came up with that name. Kind of looks like Fester a little bit, but he's good.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
You know, it's just a real nigga shit, your real nigga story, you know what I'm saying?
This beat is so niche. Oh, no, my good friend this week, Joe Donovan. Joey, as he was known in Walpole State Prison, Joey Drama.
Ta-da.
Joey Drama, ladies and gentlemen, because he was always in some type of drama. He has done more time in the hole than any, pretty much, right?
I don't know how many people have done more. There's been a few, but not many.
Yeah, yeah.
I have about... If you add up all the whole time, 16 years?
Yeah, 16 years in segregation, a lot of it in DDU and 10 block.
Yeah, 8.5 DDU, I don't know, 4 or 5 and 10 block, 9 block.
Yeah, 9 block wasn't bad though, right?
9 block was pretty good, man. Yeah, it was, 10 block wasn't bad when I first went in.
Ten block was good for the whole. They give you a TV. If you were all right, 10 block.
Back then, you know, people had... You had basically conjugal visits, so that was fun.
10 block was all right. I remember being in 9 block on Christmas Day, and I got my canteen like the day before. And actually, my mother, who's never visited me in prison, you know, I was in foster care when I was younger. She showed up on Christmas Day to visit me. Was that in 10? Yeah, I think that was in 10 block. But I remember in 9 block, you could get your canteen. What was it, 10 bucks or 15 bucks?
Right. And I think it was 20.
Yeah, 20. And I opened up my canteen bag, and there was a note from a friend of mine, Johnny Sheehan, who just passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, he's working the canteen.
Yeah, in like Old Colony Minimum or something. And he actually got the order to fill my bag, and he put some extra stuff in there for me. But so people don't know about Joe, I'll let him tell the story because nobody can tell it better than himself. But Joe went into prison at a real young age where I met him. And God, Joe, take it away.
All right. Well, we'll do a short story on that one because that's not really what the podcast is going to be about, right? But but quickly. So I was I was by myself, and late on a Friday night, I was just turned 17. Back then, no cell phones, you know? So I took a little nap. I overslept. I was supposed to meet my friends, I think at like 6 o'clock, but here it is 7. I can't find them. None of them are home. I can't, all their phones, none of them around, right? So these are the kids I usually hang out with. So I'm like, oh, they're probably at a park because, you know, that's what we used to do, hang out at parks and stuff, you know? East Cambridge, you know? And, you know, if they're not home, that's where they're going to be, right? So I take a walk down to the park sitting near my house, you know? And I get to the first one and nobody's there. And I'm going to the second one and I bump in these two kids drinking. And they want to go get more booze. And I know them peripherally. I'd say, you know, like one's in a grade lower than me. I know his sister. We kind of know each other. But like, I wouldn't say we're best of friends. You know what I mean? We just, you know, play ball here and there and stuff like
neighborhood
that.
Neighborhood kids.
Neighborhood kids, right? Don't really know them all that well. They're not my crew, right? But nonetheless, we go to a store, see if we can get somebody to buy some booze for us. And I'm with these kids maybe 10 minutes, right? We bump into a couple college kids who I think they were drinking a little, you know, and they were speaking another language. Right. And when bumped into me, I don't know why, dude. To this day, it was stupid. Right. And probably the dumbest thing I ever did. And I got like offended and was like, hey, don't you say excuse me, because he bumped into me, and just dumb, like trying to be a tough guy kid.
Showing off a little bit.
Yeah. You know, probably showing off for my friends. You know how it is. Right. Yeah. It ain't nothing when you could do that a million times and nothing bad would happen. I just hit the unluckiest. Yeah, the perfect storm would be, right? And what ended up happening was I got into a little argument. I thought these kids were like making fun of me, but in retrospect, right, they weren't, right? They just didn't understand. They were probably a little drunk and just being goofballs, you know what I mean? Yeah. And me being like thinking I'm a tough kid, right? Or whatever. And I get mad for whatever stupid reason, right? You know, I wasn't like mature at all, you know? Anyways, I hit the kid. What a punch. And knock him out and break my hand. I kind of turn around for a second because my hand's broken. Like ah, shit, right?
I remember seeing the pictures all over the Boston Globe.
With my hand broken, yeah.
With your hand broken, yeah. Being arraigned in court. Yeah, yeah. And it was such a big case. International.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge case. It went because, I'll get to that point.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening, it was an MIT student at the time, so it became a big thing. And so his friend kind of was shocked, right? And one of the kids that was with me grabs that kid, his friend, the one that didn't get hit, and pulls him to the side. So I think they're about to fight. Like, he's like moving him to the side. So I kind of take a couple steps in that direction. Now the kid I had hit, like, it fell this way, you know? So he's like out of my view. He's not in my view and shit. And so I'm like thinking, you know, there's going to be a fight, right? You know, I'm a kid. I'm not thinking anything more than that, right? And for whatever reason, and he later on says that he did it because he wanted to get a trophy, whatever that means. He said, give me your wallet. So now it's a robbery, right? I didn't take part in that, but
yeah, it was a spur of the moment.
Right. It's a robbery.
Yeah. Just,
and at that point, some people start yelling, hey, 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 right? Like, you know, it's we're in Boston, we're in Cambridge, right? So I'm like, screw this. I'm getting out of here. I turn. I see the other kid I was with, the 15-year-old, and he's kind of like over the dude I had punched, right? I don't know what he's doing, right? Maybe it looks like he's hitting him. I don't know, right? Like, he's just over him, right? And whatever, I just run, right? And we end up getting day run or whatever. We go to a store, this and that. Like, we didn't even go far. We just crossed over to Boston. Thought it was just a stupid assault. Like, didn't think they would really be looking for us, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it wouldn't have been a big deal had it just been that, right, back then. And anyways, I come out of the store, right? I go in the store. I come out of the store, and I go take a pee, whatever. All right, take a piss around the corner. Come back out. And this kid's wiping blood off a knife. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. I'm like, and then I think, at first I said, would you just stab somebody, right? Because I'm thinking, like, I didn't see none of that shit. You know what I mean? It didn't even occur to me. And then, like, what he's saying, it pops into my head. Oh, shit, this kid just stabbed that kid that I hit, right? And I'm like, what the fuck? And then, like, I can see he's nuts. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the fuck he's saying, right? And anyways, the cops, like, roll up on us, like, right after that, arrest us. Dude, it turns into, like, international news. Some cop says that we're playing the game Knockout. Right. It comes up with the story. Nobody's ever even heard of this before. Right. Somebody comes up with a story. Newspaper article runs it. That gets picked up across the country.
He was from Germany. Right. The student, the MIT student
was
that
from
died?
Was from Norway.
Norway.
Right. And, like, you know, it became a big issue that everybody's writing it. Towns versus gowns. It didn't help that, like all the high school kids in the high school are all, like, trying to defend us. Like, oh, this is bullshit. You know what I mean? So now they're like, and then the newspapers, you know, really gaslighting it because it was like a slow news month, right? So, like,
not anymore.
Right. But if people remember just even a few years ago, right? Before kind of COVID, right? The newspapers catch a case, right? Whatever big case, when there's no cases, they catch a big case, they stop paying attention to it. And they make it news. News, right? They make people pay attention to it. And so they came up with this Knockout thing. Ended up being bullshit. But it, like, polluted everybody's minds, right? When we go up to the jurors, they ask the jurors, like, hey, have you heard the story? Everyone knows it. People are just like, yeah, these kids are guilty. They should get hung and blah, 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 right? And it's like, they wanted me to, they know I didn't do really much in this, right?
Yeah, you threw a punch.
Right. And the other kids, as soon as they get to the police station, all start rolling. I don't, right? And I just shut my mouth, you know? And they're like, well, these kids already told themselves, and they lied like six ways to Sunday anyway. And each lie hurt themselves more than it hurt anybody else. And they're like, you know, you didn't lie, right? You didn't say anything yet, right? we'll do a deal with you. I could have got off, you know, I got a few years.
Yeah, testified but, against.
Yeah, testified against other kids. But like my lawyer says at the time, he goes, well, you know, even with the story you're saying to me, because, you know, you tell your lawyer kind of what happened.
Yeah, of course.
He goes, even when the story you're saying to me, he's like, that's really not a crime, right? I mean, they're going to want like you to remember more stuff. And I'm like, what do you mean remember more stuff? And he's like, you know, like say if you were to remember, and he starts giving me scenarios of how the lie bet. And I'm like, oh shit, that's what's going to happen to me. These kids are just going to, these lawyers are going to tell these people like this what to say to fuck me over. Right. And that's, and, but I was like, I'm not doing this shit. I'm not going to be involved in this shit. Right. I don't give a fuck.
I remember when.
And I went and I end up just taking the hit.
I remember when it happened, when, you know, I, obviously I know about joint venture a little bit, you know, a lot of people don't know about it. If me and you decide we're going to rob a bank and I go in and I kill someone and you're sitting in the car, you're being charged with murder. Right. And that's the law in Massachusetts. And I remember, you know, they charging you with felony murder because they said it was an armed robbery, which it was just a spur of the moment thing, you know?
Right.
And when they have since
made those laws illegal. They have said that you can't charge anybody felony murder anymore because it's unconstitutional because of outcomes like my case, but they won't make it retroactive. Right?
Yeah. So if you're in there, you're stuck.
So if you're already in and they screwed you over and they know they made it illegal.
Yeah, it's not grandfathered.
They don't go back.
But what people don't know about Joe is
you're not going to talk about the homosexual stuff, right?
No. Don't worry. We'll touch on that after.
Okay.
No, but what they don't know is the kid who actually committed the murder did what, 11 years, Sean? What are you doing?
Less. I think he did like 7.
Oh my God. He did 7. The other one who testified against both of them.
Did about the same thing. 7 or 8.
Did about the same thing.
Yeah.
So Joe goes to trial and they find him guilty of first degree murder, felony murder during the course of a robbery. And at 17, well, he was awaiting trial for a little bit, but at 17, 18, they come back with a guilty verdict and they sentence him to natural life in prison with no chance of parole. And, you know, we used to laugh about it in there, you know, just like he said, it was probably the worst decision he ever made. I mean, I don't think you could make a worse decision than throwing that punch.
That was a terrible decision.
But we used to break his balls in there a little bit. And I'd say, you know, you're doing your life for throwing a punch at somebody. Like, talk about bad luck, you know, and you tell people the story and they couldn't even grasp it. Like, you know, so
CEOs would come by and go, boy, you know how many times I've gotten into fights when I was a kid? Yeah. Holy shit, right? They all say it to me. You know?
So Joe got involved and when he says he did 16 years in the hole, he did 16 years in segregation in the hole.
Pretty like bad
I've been
places.
In 10 block. You know, I've been in the hole a lot too, but I mean, you know, when I want to tell people I did 9 months straight in the hole, this and that, people are like, what? But I always think of like you and other people. Yeah. I know that like you did what, 5 years straight?
5 years straight one
five
time.
5 years straight in the hole at one point of the sentence, you know? Mm-hmm. It was good to get a break from you though every now and then. They take you back to the hole, you know? Sometimes I get in trouble just to go be with him in the hole a little bit, but yeah.
Like, you know, hey, Mike's walking through. We hang out for a month or two. You go back on the pop. I stick around.
It's
like play
when,
some chess.
Yeah, it's the same thing as when you're a lifer in prison and you see guys get out and then they're back and they come back doing 2-3 years.
Yeah, like I used to see you all the time.
Yeah, and then they come back again. You're like, what the fuck, man? He's still sitting there.
I'd be like, hey, Mike, you been on a diet?
Yeah, I'll train, running, training for the marathon. I come back 50 pounds lighter, you know? So Joe, I used to fuck with Joe a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We used to pull some pranks on each other in there to make it fun. And
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin. Yeah. One of the best ones was, you know, people don't know this, but it used to be like TV Digest. So every week you get this TV Digest in the mail and you look at
TV
and say,
Guide. Yeah.
TV Guide.
Yeah.
Oh, this program's on, you know, 8 o'clock Thursday
you guys
night.
At this shit.
Seinfeld, you know, so, or whatever it was. So he'd get this, Joe would lock in on certain nights. So I want to watch this program on PBS or whatever. And we were constantly pranking Joe. So
I used to love documentary. I still do. Yeah.
All that stuff. So me and this other kid who was doing a life sentence, Kevin, a kid from Dorchester. We come up with this idea where we had an old TV guy.
Yeah, like 2 months old, yeah, 4 months old or something, right?
So what we did, we took a razor and we sliced off
perfectly
the cover of the new and we like overlapped it on the end. We had like this glue and a little tape and we put it together so it looked perfect. So we're down
the
there
level playing. Of the level of friggin' boredom you guys had.
MacGyverism. So we're playing cards and Joe's like, oh, I'm gonna lock in, you know, I wanna watch this program tonight, you know, on like PBS. So we're like, oh, you know, what's it about? And he's, you know, telling me, right? So it goes on for like two or three nights, right? And then he locks in one night and he goes, Mike Lee, you motherfucker.
Every night I'm walking, I'm like, nothing's on TV that I want to watch. What the hell's going on, right? Like, all the schedule change? What the fuck?
So, you know, even in a place like that, man, you know, we had a lot of fun. I used to eat
Mike
all
the don't remember. Food. You don't remember the...
I forget a lot. You know, I was in a coma for a while.
The onions and the onions the with the roaches yeah. and the... So to get them back, we took... There used to be roaches, right? Which, by the way, prison used to be full of roaches. They came by with some spray and sprayed it while you were all there, right? It killed all the roaches. I'm pretty sure we're all going to die of this, right? Anything that kills every roach in a place, right? And they don't ever come back, right? It's gotta kill you, right? So anyway... it was roaches. And so we took the buddy Oz used to freaking have like a little, he used to call it the biosphere, right? And so we took some roaches from the biosphere and we put them in like an old onion in Mike's jacket, right? And left it in his cell and we forgot about it, right? Like it was so long, it was sitting there. It must have been a month or something. Finally, one day it's cold, right? Mike throws the jacket on. He's trying to say he's got roaches. He's like, oh, what the fuck? Roaches on me, right? Like it was great, right? Then like they take the can of tuna fish, throw the cans of tuna fish under somebody's bed. They're like, what? Who the fuck is eating rotten fish, right? It's all you smell for like 3 days till you go to sweep under your bed and you're finding fucking cans of fucking mackerel.
Yeah, we had a lot of boredom in there. So, you know,
we drive each other nuts.
You know, we made the best of it.
What
you
about
know?
When you ate all my canteen, you fucker? Yeah. So I have a cell full of food, right? And I had
still
a job.
Had people that loved him out there, not like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I had hustles. And I had hustles, you know. And so, you know.
I used to do people's laundry.
Yeah, well, that too. You know, only the boxes. Only the boxes, right? But I have an art hustle. You know, I can draw very well. And so I used to make money on that. And I'd make money on like two-for-one-ing stuff and gambling and stuff like that, right? So anyways, my cell would be always full of food. You know, Mike comes out of the hole. He's starving, right? Hasn't eaten anything in months, right? And he comes into the unit and he's looking at me and he's like, dude, what's up? We hug. I'm like, bro, I got to get to work. I'm going to get off early though. I'll leave after an hour, but I have to go to this movement. I'll be back in like an hour, hour and a half. He's like, all right, cool. So I'm like, help yourself. Eat whatever you want. I got shit, right? So I just leave
solid
him in myself.
Move, drama, right? Being cool, a gentleman.
Always a gentleman, kid. Always a gentleman, right? So I let him stay in my cell. I take off to work. I come back, right? This dude is laying on my bed, right? There is wrappers everywhere, right? Honey bun wrappers. There's sandwiches, half made bagels that were eaten, and like must have been like $40-$50, like a week's worth of food, right? Like I'm like
I
looking
the
at
two
him.
Boxes
he's,
of cupcakes. Remember?
Yeah, he's laying on my bed with his head hanging off the side of the bed, right? Oh, and he looks like Pooh Bear. I don't know if anybody remembers Pooh Bear with the honey, right? Google it. It was Mike. His stomach is huge at this point. He looks like he's pregnant, right?
I literally ate until I got sick. I got sick.
I said, how could you, dude? How? And he's like, dude, I just started smashing food. It was so fucking good. He's like, and then, man, I got really sick, so I threw it all up. Then I got hungry again. I'm like, dude, I was only gone for an hour, dude. Right? How is this possible? My cell's fucking wrecked. He's laughing.
People don't know about, you know, when you're in the hole like that for a while and you don't get no good food. Like yeah. Another friend of ours, Justin, Cambridge kid who was a lifer. I saw him recently. He was
a good kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid, Justin Holmes. And
doing very well.
Yeah, he's doing great. And he was on a union site and somebody FaceTimed me and they're like, oh, I'm with someone who knows you. And it was Justin. And Justin was another one who did, he did 5 years in the hole with Mikey Skinner that time, right?
Yeah, he did four or five or something. Yeah,
four
he
or
did
five a nice straight little stretch. Yeah. In DDU in the hole. And I had never met him, but I had heard his name plenty of times. So he came in the block and I heard his name. So obviously I go right over to his cell with a bag of food, you know, peanut butter, jelly, honey buns.
Yeah.
He was telling me those chocolate granola bars.
Oh, right? Those things are great, bro.
The
gas station for everything that you can find at 7-Eleven or Speedway is what is in canteen.
Yeah.
That's your food for the rest of your life.
The macaroon coconut granola bars dipped in chocolate.
Yeah.
Those fucking things were phenomenal. Everything.
The food that people can make with this stuff. I can cook. Let me go to 7-Eleven. I'll cook you a gourmet meal, right? A gourmet meal on that stuff.
He, you know, after not eating canteen, just eating that prison food for 5 years in the hole, like you haven't had a Snickers bar, you haven't had a honey bun.
And when they say they give you like a scoop of rice, dude, it is a ice cream scoop of rice, right? You know, that's what you're getting. You're getting like a burger, one little thing ass patty that's not even real, right? And, you know, it's bad food. It's really bad food. And if you don't like that food, well, you don't eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny when you're in the hole, like once in like on a Saturday, sometimes every two Saturdays, you get like a hamburger and there'll be like two packets of sweet relish.
And you're like, oh my God.
Save one of them and have it on your desk.
Like, yeah. Right.
Or an apple.
If a cop threw away that fucking day. Yeah, oh my God. You'd rip out. That's it. I'm going to go crazy.
Two packets of sweet relish. That's how hungry I am. Or an apple.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Dude, salt and pepper packets. I used to have to smuggle salt and pepper packets because if you had any salt and pepper packets that were extra, right? They would throw them out, right? I'd be like, dude, you only get salt and pepper, like one out of five meals, they'd put a couple packets of salt and pepper. And believe me, dude, that food needs something, right? Yeah. So like you would savor it for the worst possible meal so you could stomach that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they would throw it out and you would feel like somebody burned your house down, right?
Yeah. I remember once with Joe, we used to, you know, mess around with each other and do stupid pranks as always. So sometimes, like, I'd fill out a medical slip and put it in this box in the block, and I'd peel it out like Joe Donovan.
Five five three one three.
You like that,
dude? You got a fucking weird memory. Yeah. You don't remember cockroaches on you. You remember stuff like that.
I know it's crazy. So I'd fill out like a sick slip and say Joseph Donovan. You know, I have, you know, pus coming out of my fucking anus. So my big toe is, I have an ingrown toenail. They'd call him out and call him to the hospital, the HSU. You know, how's your big toe? He's like, what? You know what I mean? So Joe knew about me that I was sharing needles with everybody on the street, you know, with somebody who was HIV, a close friend of mine. And I remember like Boo Boo, I would run in Boo Boo's house, like Boo Boo, where's the works, right? The works being hypodermic needles.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, I don't got any. And I'd jump up on the cabinet and he'd have one. I knew where he'd hide his. And he had, you know, I don't know, full-blown AIDS. That's even a real thing. He had HIV, like bad. So he'd be like, Mike, no, you know. He'd have tears in his eyes, you know. And I'd grab him, Boo, shut the fuck up. I'd throw the shit in the spoon. I'd be mixing it up. And he'd be like, there's bleach right there. And bleach would kill HIV. But I didn't like using bleach because it would
burn.
Because the rubber plunger on the inside, it wouldn't be like smooth. It would be like squeak. I'd be like, nah, I don't like using bleach. And I just hit it with water like two, three times. And
it's amazing, bro.
And he'd just be like, tears in his eyes, you know, he's like family. And he'd be like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And I remember saying to him, you don't understand. I don't give a fuck if I live or die. Do you understand? Yeah. I don't care.
It's amazing you didn't catch that shit. It's
I know. Amazing. And then I'd go to prison or whatever and I'd get clean and be like, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
What did I do? But
I better not share somebody's, nail clipper.
So,
so
Joe actually puts in a sick slip because he knows, you know, it's in the back of my mind. I'm real nervous. He puts in a sick slip to get tested for HIV. So they call me. They call me one day. I go down to the HSU hospital and I go in. They're like, you know, lady's got a little thing and everything. Uh-huh. And I put the thing. I'm like, yeah, what's this? Oh, you're going to draw blood. For what? Oh, didn't you fill this out for an HIV test? I'm like, fucking Joey drama, right? So I am like certain things in my life, like, oh, he was in prison. He's this and that. But believe me, I'm a fucking coward with some things. Excuse my language.
Yeah,
right?
Like bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll tell that story in a second.
So
yeah.
I was scared to death. I didn't want to know, right? I didn't want to know if I had it. But, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'll just do it. So they says, you know, we'll have the results. I forget what it was. It 2 weeks to a month. It was a while then. It wasn't like it is now. It wasn't this rapid thing, right?
But they send it out back then.
So I'm in the Maxen, and 2 weeks goes by, and you know, a month, and then they're like, "Oh, the lady who gives the results, she quit her job." So they look. I'm like, "Really?" That's it. So when you're in the Maxen, there's three tiers. And they bring all the food into the block, the trays, and they put them on this metal table, and they'll crack the first tier, and everyone will walk out and grab their tray and their juice and come in, and they lock in. You eat in your cell. Then they do the second tier. Then they do the third tier.
That's always fun times.
So
I'm usually halfway through, somebody gets stabbed.
Yeah.
And you're waiting an hour and a half for your food. Almost always.
So I'm waiting. I'm way up on the third tier. So they do count. And then like an hour later, they'd crack the doors for chow. So I'm laying there on my bed, and all of a sudden there's a cop at my door with a feed-in tray. And people that had HIV, that were HIV positive, before you come out to get your meal, they would come to your cell and give you this tray with like the
a little extra food.
Yeah, the Ensure protein drinks and some other things. And he comes in, and he's all of a sudden I'm like shocked because he's at my door. I'm waiting for the door to open. They already did count. And he goes, "Lee, diet meal."
Oh.
And they take like your fingernail and write Lee in the styrofoam on it. It says Lee with my cell number. And here I am. It's wow. Like,
you must have known somebody in the kitchen.
Yeah. It's like 5 or 6 weeks. I'm waiting for this HIV result and they don't even give it to me. And then they give me this diet meal. And I remember I took it and you know, I didn't even open it. I put it on the desk and I'm just sitting on the edge of my bed. I'm like, wow. Like that's how they tell you. Like they just say, yeah, you just get the fucking Ensure protein drinks and you know, and that's it. Right. So the doors crack to get my tray and I don't even go out. You know, now a couple of guys, guys like, "Hey Mike, what's up? You didn't, you know, can we get your tray?" No. They're like, "You all right, man? You didn't come out." And I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm not hungry, you know? And I'm sitting in there and it's like 2-3 hours, you know, just thinking about everything, you know, I'm 25, 26 years old. And I'm like, fuck, you know, it wasn't a shock. Right. And then I opened the tray and it's stuffed with Snickers bars and honey buns and granola bars. And it was my friend here, my friends who worked in the kitchen. They knew I was in the Maxen. I just got out of the hole. I didn't have any food. And they took a tray and they snuck all stuff in it and they put it on the diet meal trays. And I was like,
I told the cop to give it to him. Yeah.
I was never so fucking mad in my life. I wanted to strangle him. You know what I mean? So I'm like, but at that point I still didn't know, you know, if I had it, but, yeah, I came back negative, and then I got out and kept doing the same thing with Boo Boo. You know,
It's amazing. You might actually have an immunity. They should probably test you. Pfizer, one of these companies should grab you and snatch you up and run your blood. It's
probably. So, yeah, I mean,
you're probably gonna cure to like most illnesses. You might be the cure, bro. Right? You might be.
Right? So, that was so a
Mike,
scary.
Time. Mike said, "Is you know, he's it's weird the things you're scared of, right? Like." It's funny, like could get into a fight and, you know, somebody could have 10 guys could come at me with knives. I'm not as worried of that as certain other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Mike, who is like, you know, obviously was doing a lot of dumb maneuvers out in the street and stealing things and doing whatever he did to get by when he was, you know, using.
Yeah. You name it.
Right. Jack, thank God, dude. Thank God. Bags, you guys.
You name it. I did everything.
You're an inspiration, kid. Honestly. Right. Thank but you, anyway, I hate to kiss your ass, but that's really right.
And you're a miracle.
I am a miracle and you are an inspiration. It's unbelievable. A miracle and inspiration working right here together. But, but honestly, especially, you know, you did that for your daughter, bro. Like, dude, props, bro. Anyways, but Mike, you know, this, you know, badass bean shooter criminal, right? we happened to be in a unit and there was no bread that week in canteen or whatever. The only place that has bread is Chow Hall. We have food. We don't want to eat the Chow Hall food because at this point we're in population. And the one good thing about being in population is you can kind of scavenge better food than you would get in the Chow Hall, you know, but you have to have some sort of hustle. So we got the hustle, we got food, right? But we don't have bread. So the only way to get the bread is to go into the Chow Hall and smuggle bread basically out of the Chow Hall.
You bring in an empty bread bag.
You bring an empty bread bag, some sort of thing. You wrap the bread up and you bring the bread back, you know, in your waistline, whatever, under your arms, whatever, right? So we're doing this, me and Kevin, you know, we're getting bread back. And I look over at Mike and the look of fear
I'm like
on this guy's.
I'm like McLovin walking out of the package store.
He's sweating. He's shaking.
No, that's fucking right? crazy.
I'm like, what are you doing, dude? He's like, crazy. He's like, dude, I robbed banks. Like, I've done all types of crazy shit. He's like, I can't believe I'm fucking scared shitless of stealing some bread out of the chow hall. He's like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm looking all around.
He's even making fun of himself. He's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And he's like, I'm really worried. So we're sitting at the table. I'm like, Mike, dude, they're definitely watching you. I don't know, dude. You're just looking really bad. We're like fucking with him the whole time. He's sketched out, right? You know what I mean? Of course, we're giving him more bread than we all have. Yeah. We're hoping he gets busted. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm never going to make it with this. Like, that. You look fine, dude. You look like the steak puff marshmallow man walking out of there with all the bread on him. I can't believe he got by, right? But it's so funny, right?
Remember the other one there? We were, me and Eddie Knight were messing with. I heard Eddie kind of went bad in there, but
oh really? Yeah, yeah. I heard some stuff. Yeah,
things, but
yeah,
I loved Eddie. But
you know, people. The thing with prison is like, it's gonna drive you nuts. It's gonna make you super strong. You know, it's like very few people get super strong. Most people go freaking nuts.
And especially guys that did a lot of time in the hole, that breaks some people.
Oh, it breaks so many people. So many tough dudes I've met that just went completely insane.
It didn't break you, Joe, but
luckily.
Trust me, there's some chinks in the armor.
Oh, dude, don't get me wrong, right? I know I'm a little nuts, but like,
but but
I'm aware of my little idiosyncrasies and stuff. The thing is,
that's a big word.
You know what I mean? Idiosyncrasies. That's one thing, good thing about prison.
Justin, Google that idiosyncrasies, all right?
I got a college education in prison.
Yeah, I know.
I've read over 10,000 books.
Me too. You know what I mean? I read a lot of books.
You know, and like, and I spent my time learning and trying to grow. I think that's one of the things that saved me from the whole time is being able to at least read certain things and try to, you know, better myself. And I think the other thing was I went at such a young age that like, and then like, as soon as I went in the joint, I was in Walpole, like immediately somebody gets killed in front of me, lockdown.
Joe got involved in a fight and he ended up fighting this guy, James Skinner, whose name is Skin Tight. How many guys has he killed there? They shipped him to New Hampshire State Prison.
Three now.
And he immediately murdered a white supremacist.
Yeah, he beat up five dudes at once.
Dudes, and then one of them. Skin Tight. I don't know how Joe survived this. That's why he was Joey Drama. He always ended up. But he ended up in a fight. That was just right when he first got down. How would you do in the hole after that? You trying to stab him with a broken broomstick?
I had a broomstick.
Joe tried to spear him like a gentleman.
But, you know, he had a knife, too. He caught me in the hand with a knife.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, it wasn't like
Joe's a knife fighter.
Yeah.
Me, I just throw the dick beaters around. Yeah, I'm no fucking...
You know, in prison, it's a tough place. But you got to do what you got to do to survive at all times, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
But it wasn't like it was a planned thing. I come walking into the unit. And after years of doing prison time, like people are creatures of habit, right? And I guess it's the same on the street or whatever, but you notice certain people at certain times hang out in certain spots, this and that. Your brain, I guess, just kind of
recognizes
that
pattern.
And when that pattern is broken,
something ain't right. Just like the silence when you just feel it.
You
feel
something
real bad's about to happen.
You can hear something. Your brain, your spidey sense is tingling. I walk in. And like, I used to be able to tell immediately when I walk on a block if there's tension, right? The cops can too.
Yeah.
The cops don't sue. You know what I mean? They'll start calling for backup or having people run in the galleries and shit like that. So
the gallery is, up against the wall. It's up high and there's like, they got these mirrors. They're like, they put them up and they're like two-way mirrors and they walk in these galleries and they can see across in all the cells. Yeah. So
we don't wreck them.
Yeah,
right.
Because
wet toilet paper on them to try to, you know what I mean? They're constantly cleaning them off and shit.
Yeah.
Put in whatever the hell get been in there, right? But I remember one time guys were whipping cans of soup at cans of stuff at the cop. And I think it was Tommy Lyons was like, hey, what's that? A can of roast beef? Here, here's a can of 40 cents tomato soup. Yeah. Give me the roast beef can. That's good, man. What are you kidding me? Right? Beef stew or something, you know? So they call the people in the gallery. So anyways, this shit's happened in the unit. I know right off the rip, something's up, but I hadn't done enough time to realize what was going on. And there was basically a big misunderstanding in a fog of war where people had a lot of tension, and one person kind of thought that the other person was moving on him, that one dude thought that Dennis Day was moving on him in the stairwell. But meanwhile, Dennis Day was
a killer. He's an older white guy. Yeah. He's been in there for a while, and he's got some bodies in there.
Yeah.
Small little guy, but a
small little guy. Life. At the end, he started sucking dick, I think. But at the, you know, before that, he was dangerous.
Yeah.
But
Probably still dangerous.
He turned into like a strange bird at the end. Like,
did he, huh?
Oh, man. He'd walk around.
I haven't seen him in 30 years.
He was with Strickland in the freaking shower, dude.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell? Lucky? Remember Lucky? Black Lucky?
No.
Fernandez, he's a good dude, right? He's like, hey, Joe, you know your buddy Dennis? I'm like, yeah. He's like, because I had just moved to Old Colony. He's like, come on in the unit for a second. He tells the cop, hey, he's coming in here. The cop's like, yeah, all right, go ahead. So I'm hanging. He's like, just hang out here for a minute. Dennis comes walking out of the shower with the gangster. He had like this gangster bathrobe that was like old, they must have let in 20 years ago, and somehow he still got his hands on it, right? And he comes walking out with the towel around his neck, this little friggin' dude, right? And then about 2 minutes later, Lucky's like, wait for it. Fucking Strickland comes out of the same.
Colony?
Yeah, same fucking shower.
Old Colony, the shower doors are like, it's like a one-person shower. It's like a door you open up and you go in.
You can go in there, right?
So if you see another guy walking out.
Yeah, there's only one shower head, right? There's only one shower. There ain't much room in there.
Trying to save water.
Huh? Trying to save water. You know what I mean? They seen that Al Gore thing. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to save the planet.
Oh, shit.
But
hold on one second.
Yeah.
We got a sponsor on this episode, right, Justin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The sponsor on this episode is Broadway Home Improvement.
Nice.
Best roofers in town. Can you get the back of the shirt?
We can read it.
Oh, yeah,
we nailed your mom's roof and she loved it. That's fucking great. That's great.
Yeah.
That
was, nice marketing there.
Yeah.
Right?
All from Shovel and Snow, kid.
Yeah. It started out
unfucking real.
And shoveling roofs.
Yeah.
Man.
Unfucking real. But, anyways, to get back to the other thing, right?
And beanshooterbrand.com.
Nice.
Right? Yeah.
Best hats in town, kid.
Yeah, right.
Right, they are pretty nice.
Yeah, we'll
I like how you get the shooting style, like the old, the old commercials. You know, like the more you know,
the more you know. All right, back to Joey Drama. Sorry, I'm terrible.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, got to pay the bills, kid.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So, and not for nothing, you do the good work, right, on the roofing. I see that shit all the time. I'm like, wow, this shit looks nice.
Yeah,
but
So if you need a roof, people.
Need a roof. You know what I mean?
Broadway Home Improvement.
Hey, listen, I throw my painting thing out there all the time, too. You got to keep doing it.
Another great painter right here. Joe actually painted my first sober house.
Yes, I did paint that house. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, I kind of forget about that sometimes. But yeah, I did, right?
Sometimes.
That was a good time. And I'm way better now. You know, I was like second or third year apprentice at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, who knew you had to go through 4 years of training in school to be a freaking painter? Right? Like, I didn't know that when I got shit.
Union's different.
Right. It's different. You have to know all the different stupid shit, right? But, I mean, it's not stupid, but it's like technical stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I come back in the unit, right? Spidey senses tingling. There was a big misunderstanding. Fog of war. Everybody's saying to everybody, oh, they're moving on us. Everybody gets nervous. It's just like everywhere else in the world, wars happen like this all the time. One side thinks the other side's doing something that they're probably not doing. It's a misunderstanding, but then it's too late. It's too late to stop it. Momentum builds, bang. So the fight happens. But I don't really know this. I'm walking on the first floor, right, which they call the flats. And all of a sudden, a bunch of black people come out of their rooms with weapons, right? And I realize,
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I realize, hey, I'm the only white dude here.
It's never a good sign. Yeah. I mean, I don't know much, but I, you know.
Right. And, you know, like I grew up in Cambridge, right? So like, not like a really, really like, you know, racially motivated town. You know what I mean? Like I grew up with all types of races there. Right. And so like, I was never really a big thing for me. Right. But like prison's different. It was like segregated, you know? And so like, I come on, I can't be like, hey, look at dude, like,
yeah.
Like, I'm for Cambridge. Like, no, hey, you know, like, I'm not really with this. It doesn't matter. You're white. They're coming for you because, you know, they think that you're going to be on the other side.
Even if you're friends with someone, you know, that's just how it goes.
Dude,
afterwards, you shake
be,
hands. But if it
and when, it's happened
if
to me.
Some, yeah, if something pops off, you know what side you're on, and it's unfortunate, but
right. You have no choice.
Hey, we didn't make the rules.
Right, right. The war happens, and then you worry about that shit after. You try not to fight your friend.
Yeah.
That's the best thing you can do. You have a black dude who's a friend of yours. You just kind of see him this way. Well, you go, let's do this. You know what I mean? You go that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is it. But, so I kind of got, like, people started running at me. I ran up the stairs. Somebody came at me. I grabbed the stick that was there. Started fighting. Somebody tried to grab the stick. I took a stick away from another guy, beat him down. Then it just so happened that I ended up doing good. I got tunnel vision. I don't know. You know what I mean? I can fight. You know, it's so I ended up doing good.
Jury's still out on that.
Yeah, right, right.
Jury's still out on that.
And I ended up doing good, you know, and the cops where I was fighting though was like, right where the cops could see. Like, that's what they seen more than anything else. So, of course, like, they like, wow, this kid's, like, freaking dangerous. You know what I mean? But meanwhile, it wasn't that. It was just, that's the only thing you could see. So, you know, they were just all concentrating on that. So,
Joe, you know what Joe did? He snapped the stick in half. Like, I know I'm going to date myself. Like, Bo Jackson would strike out, right? And he'd fucking just snap the bat over his knee. Joe, like, snapped the stick in half and started doing, like, things like that. Put him around like nunchucks. And then made
more like a spear.
Then he made a spear with his teeth and impaled the guy.
I don't know if it was that badass, but
we need video footage.
But dude, not for nothing.
You think maybe?
Yeah, like really, it's like it was probably like the whole fight probably lasted like 2 minutes. It felt like 5 hours.
Yeah, it's long.
You know what I mean? And like then everybody kind of rolled upstairs. People were running at everybody. Somehow I end up being right in front of Skin Tight, right? And because he was going to try to stab Dennis because Dennis got hit with a mop ringer. It was a whole crazy thing. Yeah. I got ribs broken. The cops come in with machine guns at the end of this. It was crazy, right? They broke through the roof, right? And like, this is like, dude, I hadn't even been in prison for a year yet. And this happened to me, right?
Joey drama.
My first ticket ever. My first time getting in trouble ever was this.
Tickets at D-Report.
Yeah, D-Report.
Most people don't know. They sanction you and sanction
you. It's like an indictment in prison, right? And they give you a ticket. I go to the hole. I get two years for my first ever ticket did DDU. That's what I got, right? But
did they close down DDU?
I don't know, dude, right? They really should. That place really drives people fucking nuts.
Yeah, DDU was a special segregation block they built in Walpole. And just bad. I think they actually, because they closed Walpole down. There's no more DDU.
Yeah.
I think Walpole's gone now, right?
Walpole, I think they did shut it down. They made it some sort of administrative thing.
It was like classification for a while.
Except maybe a few guys.
What a dungeon that place was.
That place was old school, dude. Old school, like, dude, there would be ice on the walls in some of the cells, right? Because there would be cracks in the cement and the moisture would get in. There would just be, I used to be in 72, cell 72 in Essex. I used to ask for it because it'd be ice on the walls. It was freezing. I loved the cold. Yeah. Freezing cold in that room. And all throughout the year, it was freezing cold. I loved that room, right? I'd be like, I want to go to that cell, right? That's my friggin' cell, right? Room. I say room now. Wow, I must be I must be busting out of this, right?
24 on each.
But if you said that shit when I first went in, my room, they'd people be like, dude, that's your cell. You're in prison. Yeah. You ain't in a friggin' hotel.
So, you know, fast forward, you know, we could talk about prison all day, but when I got out, I tried to stay in touch with Joe. You know, I'd write him some letters here and there, but like anybody knows, if you're doing drugs, you're running around getting high, you know, you lose touch with people. You ain't, you know, I mean, everyone's different. I can only speak for myself, but there'd be times where I wouldn't contact him and then I'd get locked up or I'd have a small period of sobriety or something. I always tried to stay in touch with Joe. And when I went down to Florida in 2013, I got sober. I immediately, you know, started writing Joe again. And, they changed the law where they made of there was a landmark case. What was the case?
The case was Miller. It was called Miller, right? Miller case. No, it wasn't a Massachusetts case. I think it was I think the first one was Graham and then the next one was Miller. I want to say Miller was out of Minnesota, but and then Graham was out of Florida. But basically it was that juveniles, they started it by trying to convict this kid who had got multiple gun charges to life. They gave him a life sentence with the possibility of parole in Florida. And then they took away parole in Florida for everybody, right? And so they try to say, well, there's no more parole, so this kid's doing the rest of his life, right?
So that went
to the Supreme Court. They made language that said, look, when you're a kid, you can't make these kind of decisions that, you know, should affect the rest of your life.
Your brain isn't fully developed. Right, you can make a conscious decision.
Right? And then it went to the next step where there was a death penalty case, and they kind of said that. And then the Miller case came along where somebody was, it was actually a pretty atrocious case. The guy like set fire to like people and shit, right? Yeah. And killed them, right? But
not like you throwing a punch.
Right. It wasn't like a stupid one. This one was kind of malicious.
Yeah.
But even still, the Supreme Court took the case and said, listen, there has to be some sort of opportunity where they redress. They look at people and they say, okay, has this person changed? Because, I mean, like we all know, you're definitely not the same person if you were even can be a person at 17 or 16.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? You're just like a ball of emotion and no rational thought when you're that age. And then when you get older, obviously your mind changes.
Yeah, you mature.
Right, you mature, right? And so most it takes don't. Maturity into account.
I'm still working on that.
Ah, yeah. You know, it takes, we're working process, bro, all of us, right? But, it takes, so they basically say it should take some sort of review to look at it. And they first said a judge should review it. And then they said, well, you know, then states started screwing around with it and they made it a parole board could review it. And the parole board, they offered me, I was like one of the first people. There was like 20 people ahead of me, but they all would still want to fight their case in court. And I was just chomping at the bit.
Yeah, get me before the board because I didn't actually kill anybody.
I didn't kill nobody, but I had an atrocious prison record, granted. But dude, it was mostly just because of bad luck. Once I got into that first fight that I was telling you about, they really had no choice to be in. Well, now I got enemies forever, right? On this side that I never really chose and don't really have no hatred towards and, you know, whatever. But, you know, like years later, I'm getting stabbed in the neck and, you know, like by guys I don't even know that are like cousins of a friend of somebody's brother.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Right? And, you know, so these things keep happening. So you keep getting in trouble. You can't get out of that cycle. Right.
I remember being at your parole hearing and they were bringing up every fight, every ticket.
Yeah.
And they're like, I remember the guy was eyeing up young Joe like a leg of lamb. And they're like, Joe, this guy's going to try to move on you. So Joe went in on him. He got him pretty good. Right. And he was this big fat ball guy. Right. So I remember the parole board says, do you remember, you know, attacking this guy? He goes, I know the guy wanted to rape me or something. And they go, well, what was, you know, can you describe it? And Joe's like, well, I can describe him. He kind of looked like the wrestler Bam Bam Bigelow. I'm sitting there in the gallery. Just laughing, saying, oh man, they're like, you know, you think they would have been like, you know, this kid came in when he was 17.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's been in, it was probably 22 years when you were at the parole hearing, 23 years.
Yeah.
It's like just, and here they are, these people. They just want to like,
once they moved me out of Walpole, I never got in trouble again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, really? You know what I mean? It was like,
Walpole was so much fun, was it?
Right. But it was just a mayhem. It was a bunch of nuts with nothing to do all day, but figure out how to fuck with each other.
Yeah.
Right. And occasionally it would end in somebody getting stabbed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was.
So I remember I was just getting sober. I don't know. What year did you get out? 14, 15?
I got out about 8 years ago or so. That was it.
Yeah.
Right.
15. So I remember I went to his parole here and the lady comes up to me outside. Are you here supporting Joe Donovan? You know, like, yeah, I am. They're like, oh, you know, how do you feel? I said, well, we're expecting the worst and hoping for the best.
Meanwhile, it's all in the news. You're unbelievable. You always get in the news somehow, right? You watch the salty parade. He's in there with the mayor. How the hell did this happen?
Yeah. So I remember, you know, going to his parole hearing and I know we don't got much time left, but, you know, they it took a while. How long before they came back with a decision?
Oh, shit, dude. Well, it was like 4 weeks or something before they came back with this. They were letting other people out before me that had been to the parole board after me, they had their hearing, and they were getting out before me.
Yeah, what a long 4 weeks, month and a half, you know? Yeah. And they came back with the decision that they were releasing him, you know? And I had, like, set him up with some girl that she was writing him a little and talking to him a little when he got out. And you know, I knew Joe was a virgin when he always denied it, but I definitely wasn't a virgin after I met Mike. So yeah, I set him up with this girl a little bit before and she was like, you know, talking a little bit. So when they released him, I picked him up and
Yeah,
he took a little ride around the block with the lady I introduced him to.
Yeah,
and then we went to Strega.
Nice girl.
Yeah. then we went to Strega.
She released 23 years of frustration.
Then we went to Strega for a nice steak, right?
Dude, Strega was balls, kid.
Oh my god! Right?
Yeah,
I shouldn't even mention that. They didn't give me any money. We went to a nice Italian restaurant that we'll read.
Right.
Beep out the name, Justin.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
Beep out the name.
But
that was it. And Joe moved on with his life.
My lawyer, we were all together. Right? I remember it was like a whole group of people that were like trying to help me, and then like. You know, because of the thing, I had to pick a sponsor, you know, AA, you have to go through all the stuff in your pro. Yeah. And like you
and I'm
my
Joe's
sponsor. Yeah.
That's how we can associate because he's not supposed to associate with other criminals, but I am Joe's sponsor.
Right. But really, Mike, you really like introduced me to this way, you know, like to like AA, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think this shit worked like this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I didn't think it worked. You know what I mean? And then, dude, because everybody
house and
just keep on screwing up.
And running a group every week.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in a sober house afterwards, in a three-quarter house, and he got in the union as a union painter, and you know, and he's doing great. You know, he's free.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you, if you met Joe, right? You know, you talk to him and laugh. You'd be like, "What a good kid!" Right? You'd have no clue, right, that what you've been through.
Oh,
you know?
I mean, I guess it's also how you look at the world, right? I always looked at it like, you know what? I had a fucking pretty fucked up life, right?
Yeah.
But compared to some people in the world, maybe like half the world, right? I got dealt a better hand than them.
You know what's
right?
you know what's funny is I tell my daughter this, right? I've always had this innate ability. I remember being 15 years old in DYS. I might have been talking about this recently, and I'm laughing and joking, right? And I'm always like, you know, there's someone right now that trade places with me. I've always had that feeling. And then when I got out of prison after being with you, and I was homeless and I was shooting drugs and I was, you know, dope sick, and I had nowhere to go, and I'm trying to call a detox to go in, I'd always think of you. Or Kevin, or other friends that were doing life, and I'd say they would trade, they would kill, they would fucking chop off their arm right now to be homeless, to have the options I have. I can go into detail.
I'd be so mad at you when you come back in. Yeah, I'd be so mad at you all the time. I'd see you, I'd be like, "You fucking suck. I fucking hate your guts. How are you ruining your life like this?
Yeah.
You got to get better, dude. You're a good dude." Like, I would just, like, you know, give him the prep talk. And like when he was leaving, I'd be like, "Dude, if you fucking come back, I'm fucking you up." Right? Like, we'd like threaten him and everything. And then like, he'd be like, "Hey, they try to get me to rat on you. So the way out the door, remember that?"
Oh, right? Yeah.
Hey, is there anybody you didn't like? Anybody you pissed you off? Remember?
Yeah. did I tell the story when the cop's coat? Remember I stole the cop's coat, Louie?
Oh, yeah.
Tried to steal the cop's jacket on the way out the door. Yeah, yeah. They busted me, but did I tell that story, Justin? Did I tell him?
Yeah.
Oh, so while I'm leaving, there's this kid, Louis Flores, who killed a couple of people in Lowell. I know a good kid, and he comes up to my cell door and he goes, "Here," he gives me this Nautica fleece jacket. So I'm like, "Oh, nice." So I put it on and I'm going home. So I got the uniform over it. So I'm down in the holding cell. My ride's coming to get me. And the cop comes down. He goes, "Hey, give me the uniform. You know, I got your clothes here." So I goes, "Oh yeah, just give me a second. I go to the bathroom." He's like, no, just give me the uniform right now. Here's your clothes." I'm like, "All right, yeah, just give me a minute. Cause I gotta," he's like, "Dude, strip down." Dude, I fucking take off the fucking uniform. I get the white fleece Nautica jacket. He goes, "Where the fuck did you get that jacket?" I go, "I had it." He goes, "No, you didn't. No, you didn't, Lee." Right? All of a sudden, fucking 5 minutes later, fucking here comes the block officer. Comes walking down. He's like, "You motherfucker." he's like, "Give me my fucking jacket, Lee." Like, I go, "Here, dude." He goes, "Really? You try stealing my jacket on the way out the door?" I go, "Yeah, man." He's like, "You'll be back."
Yes, I will.
All right, man. Hey, that's it, Joe. Thanks. Joe was a last second. I called him, like always. When did I call you? An hour ago?
Dude, a couple hours ago. Dude, could you come over here? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, "Oh, dude, like, what the fuck? Like, I haven't talked to you in like a month. Like, all of a sudden, right? Like,
last time
I seen you, it was at a friggin' meeting, right?"
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I get a phone call. "Hey, dude."
I gotta stop planning these better. And when I did it last week,
I gotta wake up at 3 in the morning, dude.
Frankie was like, "Dude, we never even talked about what we were gonna talk about." I go, "I know, dude, I'm bad. I just kind of wing it." And,
yeah. Maybe it's a convo, dude. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's better to hear that, right?
All right,
dude,
Justin.
There's a ton of stories. One day we'll get into them.
You guys don't see Justin, but this is the man. This is the guy that makes all this stuff happen.
The man behind the scenes.
Yeah. He's like, you know, the man behind the curtain in the Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean?
He is. Dr. Oz right there.
Yeah, he's the guy. And we're going to start having some football picks, too, next week. All right, Justin? I'm going to start studying, right? And I'm going to come in. It's like you want to be sure on the first one.
Yeah, you know what you should ask? All the guys in the sober house, whoever said, you know, whoever they like,
you just go
the opposite way.
Joe, you flip a fucking coin. Let's fucking go. All right, boys.
You know, it's just a real nigga shit, your real nigga story, you know what I'm saying?
This beat is so bitch.
I like a bunch of narcotics.
There were.
Pull up in a new Rari. Living life, just got it.
Come on.
Chopping bricks like a